You act on the faith that I don't need to do anything. I don't need anything more. I'll tell you what, the whole do not need a physician, but I am not whole. I need something more. I'm going to need something more till my life is laid down for Jesus Christ. Remember, it pleased God to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus Christ himself was not perfect until he suffered and died. He still needed something more. He needed a little something more. He was trying to get a little extra profit in the Lord's work. And that's the idea. We want to squeeze every penny out of this life. Every bit of profit we can get in the things of God, we want to get. It is the things he gives us we want to be profitable in. We want to profit in them for the sake of our Lord and also for our own sake. Knowing that he gives us our talents, you know, which is, it's a large measure of weight. He gives them great riches to work with. He gives us the riches of his mercy, the riches of his grace, the riches of his faith. It's all there. By his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We can profit in these things. It's absolutely possible. To him, and my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses, to everyone that hath shall be given. If you have gifts, you're going to get more. You're going to be profiting in those. And to him that hath not, though, shall be taken away even that which he has. What? How can you have someone who has nothing have taken away from them what they have? They don't have anything. That's the paradox right there. Because they seem to have faith. They seem to be part of the household of God, right? I believe in Jesus. You go to church and you look around and you think, these people are all Christians, right? Or at least most of them are. There might be some new people showing up, right? But for the most part, you think, yes, they all have faith because they're here. Or maybe you know someone in church. They have faith, but you don't see any works. You don't see any works. How do you really know there's faith without works? Well, because they say so. They only seem to have something. They seem to have something to an observer because of the confession of their mouth. But they don't really have anything. So even the confession of their mouth is going to be taken away from them. When God rejects them, when he rejects them, he's going to say, I don't know you. And even that thing they seem to have, they thought they had that little bit of salvation by the confession of their mouth and by what they believed, but instead it's going to be taken away and ripped out. And that's so obvious that works must be done. There's no excuse. There's no way to get around it. People want to say, oh, not of works, you know, not of works. No. It is by grace that you are saved. Of course. But the point is, the grace has its work. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. And that's the talent that we are supposed to exercise ourselves in. That's the things we're supposed to profit in. We're supposed to profit in godliness. We're supposed to profit in the good things that God has given us. It's not like, you know, he had eating no pork, observing the Sabbath, circumcision, and the proper garments, and you know, the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, all as his five talents, and then he added to that more, feeding the poor, etc., you know, visiting people in prison, works of the flesh, outward works. And though all those things, I'd say a hardened heart to those in unfortunate circumstances, to not do good to them in their trouble, is a sign of a reprobate person. We must always be tender and willing to help others. But that is not the point. It's not a, that is a work that springs from salvation. It is not a work that is required for salvation. There's no works that we can do that can make our status in God's sight change. God is either gracious to us or he is not gracious to us. He's either merciful to us or he is not merciful to us. And if he is not merciful to us, there is no work we can do to incur his mercy. There is no amount of good works, no amount of begging and pleading that can cause him to be merciful towards us. Because otherwise it's not grace, it's debt. If it's reckoned of debt, it is no more of grace. And there's no man to whom God is indebted. There's no man who can do enough works to say to God, God, I've done these works, you owe me eternal life. You owe me eternal life. I deserve to live forever because I fed the poor. I helped the needy. I did many wonderful works, and I did it in your name. There's no amount of that stuff that you can do that makes you worthy. It's by God's grace, and the grace of God teaches us certain things about denying ungodliness. Yeah, you did all those good works, but you were a fornicator. You lusted. You went after intemperate things. You were a drunkard, and you think, oh, but I did all these good works. No! God doesn't reckon it that way. If you want to reckon of debt, then he's going to look at your book on the balance and say, I don't owe you anything. You only did that which any human ought to do to his fellow human out of pity. You only did that which you ought to do. You did nothing that merits eternal life. You did nothing that merits my grace. You cannot merit grace, otherwise it is not grace. But Paul, this parable seems to be one of merit. Well, the parable is talking about how things happen. People receive things from their master, and they produce things according to their abilities. But don't think of this as far as, I'm doing it, because God gives it to us to do it. He gives us the stuff, and God, unlike the master in the parable, gives us our abilities. In fact, a lot of times, our talents are our abilities. Our talent, like I said, it was a unit of measurement. It's weight. As I give him a ton, I give you 5 tons of gold. Go make a profit. You know, he gives us things. He gives us things that allow us to profit in the faith. And now I'm going to look at this part about the end. Right? He does very well with the servants who profited in God's things. That is his mercy. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now the one on whom he was not merciful, because it's manifest, there's no mercy here. He had nothing, and he gets nothing. In fact, that which he seemed to have, he gets taken away. And the reason I say seem all the time is there's another place, I believe it's in Luke, where that's added, where even that he seemeth to have, because that helps you understand the idea. You know, to him that from him that hath not shall be taken even that he hath. But here it says, Lord, I knew you. You were a hard man. I knew you. Lord, Lord, I know you. I know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? He knows the Lord. He knows the Lord. He thinks he does. I knew you. Now, most people, that thou art loving and kind and would never turn anyone away if they believe in you. Don't confuse the description of the Lord in the parable with the thoughts of the people who are going to be rejected by him. It's not necessarily that they think he's hard and they are afraid to serve him. But in a sense, they think, well, you know, the ministry is difficult and I don't understand. And there's all kinds of excuses people bring for their lack of production. There's all kinds of excuses people bring for why they don't serve God. But the truth is that in their heart, there is something that doesn't want to serve God, that fears God in a way that is not healthy, that does not want to do the things God wants them to do. And another thing, there's all kinds of perverse ideas of who God even is with Christ. You know, the Christ I declare, the Christ of these parables, they don't even believe in a Christ that could do something like this. A Christ that would say, all right, I give this guy a lot, I give this guy almost as much, and this guy I'm going to give a little bit. And when he doesn't produce, I'm going to cast him out.